Morning. I also would like to welcome everyone, and especially I would like to welcome Alexandru Sândulac. He's among us, and if you remember when I preached on the gift of apostle, I mentioned that I know an apostle who planted more than 20 churches, and that's Alexandru Sândulac. We were for 10 years in one team. He's also a missionary for the Muslim world, and he started his ministry in the north part of Moldova, where the Jehovah Witnesses occupied actually that part of the country, and he started to work among them, and now God bless that ministry, and he started also to work with five orphanages, with five prisons, and for me, Alexandru is a really great example, and we would like to welcome him this morning. By the way, he speaks a very good English, so much better than mine. You don't hesitate to approach to him to talk, to communicate. Today we are back in James. But this time, today we will study the solution. We said that James opened a problem, give an illustration, put that illustration in contrast, and in the end he will give the solution. And today we will understand what the solution, how we can pass through trials. How is it possible to rejoice in trials? How can I avoid turning the trial into temptation? And what should I do to not let the desires of the flesh to overcome me? And we will discuss about the perfect law that gives freedom. It's a law, and always a law. It's a restriction, but this time, this law, you'll understand it gives a real freedom. We are dealing with the same letter, which is sent to refugees, and that's why James started with the precept. He said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds," and the word for many kinds is multicolored. And now, in the fall, we do understand what does it mean multicolor. When you look at the trees, you'll not find the same leaves. The leaves are so different, so many shadows of colors, and you do understand that it's the same of trials. In our childhood, we have one kind of trials. In our younghood, we have different. In our adulthood, we have totally different kind of trials. And actually, you'll not find a person who passed through totally the same trial. And that's why God said, don't ask, don't look for wisdom to humans. Come and ask for wisdom from me, and today we'll understand how we can get that wisdom, the wisdom which will allow us to pass through trials. It's a letter sent to refugees, and we are refugees too. Paul said, don't forget that you are strangers on this earth, and if you feel too comfortable here, maybe you are not waiting for Jesus coming, and we should not feel too comfortable. We are still on this earth, and we are still in the midst of our enemies, those who don't follow Christ, but we are still here to love them, to give them the gospel, to gain them for Christ, and to prepare for His coming. It's a letter about faith, and James said, the first thing, if you would like to check what kind of faith do you have, look how you are passing through trials. Let's see what the role of knowledge in passing the trial. And I would like to read from verse 16, the chapter 1. And you do remember that the chapter 1 is divided in three major parts. In the first part, 1 to 12, the key repeated word is trial. In the second part, from 13 to 18, it's temptation. And from 18 to 25 is about Word of God. And we would like to understand what's the connection between trial, temptation, and the Word of God. From last times, we understood that trial is for our benefit, and if you decide not to avoid them but to pass through them, you'll get those five best benefits which you can only dream about, and that's endurance, second is maturity, third is wisdom, happiness, and when we will get to heaven, the crown of life. And that's why a trial is not a problem but is a blessing. And the problem can be only a temptation, a trial which is turned into a temptation. And since in Greek is the same word, trial and temptation, only our reaction will show is that a trial for our benefit or it's a temptation which leads to death. And what's the solution? Let's look to this verse. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know. And Paul said the same, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know. And you immediately understand that here is the secret, to know, the knowledge is the secret. But what kind of knowledge? We have to know, we have to understand, and the only way to know, to understand, is through the Word of God. And that's why this morning we would like to know about the redeeming Word of God, because we would like to rejoice on this earth. It's something very vital, very practical, and what we'll study today, you can apply right away and to have that benefit of joy in the midst of trials. Only the Word can save us from temptation. Let's look from the very first verse which tells about the Word of God, verse 16, 17, 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So the first thing that we found about the word is that we were born through the word of truth, and God gave us birth only with one goal, to make us the first fruit of all his creation. Now, since we do understand that we were born again through this word of truth, look in verse 19 what James said. So we should be quick to listen to the word. Because in that time, a letter will come to a church, and that letter will be read in front of the church, and the people should listen. And that's why when you deal with the word of God, be quick to listen. But also, be slow to speak. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 said, when you come to the house of the Lord, be silent and listen. You rather listen than to speak. But the most important is that the word of God will rebuke you. If you you are opening your heart today for the word of God, the word of God will rebuke you, and that's why be slow to become angry. What the Pharisees did when they were hearing Jesus, they were looking for stones because they were becoming angry. And that's why James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How we can get rid of all the moral filth? It's only by accepting the word in humbleness. Verse 21. And we understood from 21 also that God is planting the word in us to save us. Oh, I thought that this letter is to the Jews who were saved. And that's very clear from verse 18 that they were saved. About what kind of salvation? We have our stereotypes, and when we hear salvation, in our mind is salvation through Christ, but in this world, in this place, it's about another kind of salvation. It's salvation from temptation. So if we will accept the word which is planted in our heart, that word will save us from temptation. The next, if you are listening without an attitude of doing, you are deceiving yourself. And James put two people in contrast. One who is listening and not doing, and he gave a best comparison for the word of God, is the mirror. We have to come to this mirror, because this mirror will show us our heart. The natural mirror will show only your appearance, but this mirror will show you your heart. But after you saw yourself in this mirror and you saw that you have something to clean, you have to take action. And in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify by your truth. And he said, your word is your truth. So it's a mirror where I can look to myself. And also it's a way how to clean myself. Because the word of God will show me who am I, and also will give me an opportunity to cleanse myself. So that's why we have to come to this perfect mirror. But let's see what are the steps which has to be taken. And look again to James 1:25, which says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And there are three steps which we have to take, and the fourth step, it's actually a reward. Let's look again. Two people, both of them are coming and looking in the mirror. That's in verse 23 to 25. But one of them just went and forgot immediately what he saw there. He forgot how God revealed the situation of his heart. He forgot about his mistakes. He forgot about everything. But another person in verse 25, he looks intently. Believe me, looks intently doesn't mean to read in the morning one chapter and to read one before you go to bed. It's not. It's like saying to the Lord in the morning, good morning and good night in the evening. So to look intently means to study. But not only to study, because you can find many people who are studying, but they are not allowing God to change them. The second step is to continue to do so. So to meditate, to remain meditating on what he saw or what he heard. The third step is doing it. And the result will be blessed. Two people. One is coming, looking, attending a seminar, attending a Sunday service, and going, immediately forgetting about what he heard, and thinking about, again, his family, his business, his duties, and so on. And another person who look intently, but will continue to do so, will meditate, and will give his will to do what he understood, and the result will be blessed. Maybe you mentioned that in chapter 1, two people are blessed. And look in verse 12 and verse 25, and we will understand the way to be blessed. James said, when you study the Word of God, and when you meditate, do it, and you'll be happy. If I will tell you this morning, brothers from Cornerstone, let's do it, let's do something good. What do you mean? Something good, but what do you mean? James, when he says do it, he means something. And in verse 12, he explains what he means. He said, the one who is in the midst of trials, or before the trials, and who decided not to avoid trials, but to pass through trials, and to get all the results from those trials, is the blessed one. And here he says, that means to do it, when you are before the trials, and you do understand that the trials is for your benefit, and you do understand that they will make you more mature, will give you patience, and will give you wisdom for life, don't try to avoid them. Decide to go through them, only asking wisdom from God who help you to endure them. So that's what he meant when he said, do it. Now, of course, we do only what we understand. Many people will tell you, come on, it's enough of so many Bible studies. You have to do it. And I would say, yes, I do understand that I have to do it, but when I look in the Bible, do it is placed after understanding. You cannot do what you don't understand. And actually, if God will not motivate you and refresh your mind and refresh your heart this morning, you will not have any desire to do His work. I maybe studied many books from the Bible. But if this morning I will not study and I will not refresh my mind with the pure living water, which comes from a living spring, and I'm making this Word of God a cistern and not a living spring of water, I don't know if during the day I will react according God's will to all the situations which I will have. That's why it's a need of coming to this living spring of water every day, and when you look in the Bible, you'll find do it only after studying, or after learning, or after meditating. And Joshua, let's read Joshua 1, 7 to 8. Again, Joshua 1, 7 to 8, John, we have there. You can read.
Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
I saw the book for my kids, 6 years old kids, and they were studying a theme, the cause and the effect. So since we are older than 6 years, let's find the cause and the effect. To do is the cause or the effect? I would say the cause is to meditate day and night, and the effect is you'll do it. And the effect will be also you'll be prosperous and successful. And look, I put two passages to see it very clear that first comes to look intently and to continue to do so. And the result, you'll be moved to do. And the result also, the benefit or the blessing will be, you'll be blessed in everything that you will do. And God's promise from Ezra is the gracious hand of God will be on you as was on Ezra, for Ezra has devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching his decrees and law in Israel. Again, the gracious hand of God will be on us if we will devote ourselves to the study of the Word of God and also to teaching others. Many people think that to stay in the Word of God is something boring. I don't know who told you that, because that is the most delightful time in your life. And that's what David said. I don't try this morning to convince you that you have to study the Bible. You know. You all know. And I saw many times that people are teaching how to pray. We know how to pray. We simply don't pray. And that's what the Bible study. I'm not convincing you the importance of Bible study this morning. I'm convincing you only one thing, that if you would like to pass through the trial of your life with joy, the only way to do is to stay in the Word of God. And that's why David said, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. And this man is compared with the tree. And Jeremiah in chapter 5 also brought up two trees. And I want to show you two kinds of trees. They look nice. They're good. Both of them, they're good. When they don't have trials. When in the spring or in the early fall they have a plenty of rain, they look fine. But if they have trials, like scorching sun, look what happened with the one of them. One of them got dry. And let's understand where is the secret, and let's go to the next slide to see where is the secret. Is the secret in the leaves? Maybe in the trunk? No. But where is the secret? Wrong. It's not in the roots. The secret, let's go to the next slide, it's outside of the tree. It's in the stream of water. Don't be deceived, because the every good thing comes from our Father, not from us. All the power, the strength is outside of us. It's not in the roots. It's in the spring of water. And what this Psalm says to us, that this man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night, and that's why he's like a tree planted by stream of water, and of course, he yields its fruit in season, its leaf does not wither, and he prospers, he has success in everything he does. You know that the law of freedom is the law. And if I will ask you, do you love the rules, the traffic rules? If you would like to love the traffic rules, you have to go to Pakistan. After me, Alexander went to Pakistan, and he knows how to drive to Pakistan. You cannot drive 1 mile. You drive and you stop, and you drive and you stop. And after 1 mile, you have pain in your back. And when you come, because everyone is crossing your road, and when you come to your country, you just fall in love with the traffic rules. And Jesus said, do you want to really love my law, which gives freedom? Let me explain. You have only 4 steps to do. And John 8, verse 30 and 32, says that even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. So many believed. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. First step for us all is to believe. But the second step is to hold to Jesus' teaching. It's not enough to believe, but you have to stay in the teaching which Jesus left for us. And the third step, you'll know the truth. Today a little bit, tomorrow a little bit, next week you'll understand more. And that truth will make you free. I was raised up in a family where the anger, the conflict, were something normal. So that's why I saw many flying plates. I saw many things which were nice. And I inherited that anger, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I told you that when I was closing my mouth, I was shouting through my nose. So that's why I didn't know how to deal with my anger. And when I started to study the Word of God, I saw that God started to change. It's like you're on the surgery table, and you're open to your doctor to make those surgery needed for our heart. I heard about botanical garden in St. Louis. And, you know, I could read a book about that garden, and I could explain how nice is that garden, and everyone will believe me that I visited it, but I will say, no, I didn't. I read a lot. But when I visited, I set my time to go to visit, you know, I will never forget what I saw there. It's one thing to read about, and it's totally different when you go and you will visit, but you'll have to spend some time. It's the same with the Word of God. And that's what Timothy said, what Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16. He said that all the Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, the Scripture is for the man of God, and we are the men of God and women of God, may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. If you would like to be a successful businessman, what do you need? The scripture. If you would like to be a good lawyer, what do you need? The scripture. For every good work. If you are, you'd like to be a good preacher, what do you need? The scripture. And first, the scripture will teach you. But if you are open to the word of God, it will rebuke you. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, I'm sure that the Spirit showed you where you fell. But not only will rebuke you, will not leave you in a such depressed situation, will say, listen, that's the correction. That's how you can correct, can be correct. So the third will correct you. And the fourth, God will say, now, after I taught you, I rebuked you, I correct you, what's your decision? And the decision is that training in righteousness. Today we found a secret. How we can rejoice in trials. Only if you leave those roots in the spring of water, you are not coming Sunday to take them off and to bring another Sunday. You are living in that spring of water, and that's the only way when the scorching sun will come you as a tree, you will remain fruitful and your leaves will not wither. And you will remain successful, and may God help us with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you to ask forgiveness for those cases when we failed, when we forgot that all the power, all the strength is in you, and we turned the trials which were beneficial for us, we turned them into temptations. And today we're asking forgiveness, and we are also so thankful for the truth which you have given to us, and make clear to us that the only way to pass through trials is to receive your word, and to abide in it, and to set our mind, our heart, to fulfill it, and you promise that we will become blessed, and the happiness will follow us. We're asking this morning to prepare our hearts for the following week, for the following day, and to be glorified and praised for our deeds. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.